This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Did you know that right now, GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Violence in Louisville. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka on this Thursday, September 24. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Two police officers have been shot and wounded during demonstrations after a grand jury's decision in the Breonna Taylor case. Hear how the day unfolded.
Johnson & Johnson says it could learn results from its COVID-19 vaccine trial by early next year. Meanwhile, new infections are trending upward.
Traders have returned to selling mode. The S&P 500 fell 2.4%. while the NASDAQ gave up 3%, we'll explain what's happening.
And using technology to get more fruits and veggies in your kids' diets.
Yeah, so there are a number of different apps and services that are intended to help families figure out dinner time and make it easier, especially if there are some picky eaters in the house or people with food allergies.
Julie Jargon at the Wall Street Journal on the apps and services aimed at picky eaters. Two police officers have been shot and wounded in Louisville, Kentucky during protests of a grand jury decision in the fatal police shooting of Breonna Taylor in March. One suspect was arrested after last night's incident, and the two wounded officers were in stable condition with non-life-threatening injuries. One underwent surgery. Interim Louisville Metropolitan Police Chief Robert Schroeder.
Obviously, we've had two officers shot tonight, and that is very serious. It's a very dangerous condition. I think the safety of our officers and the community we serve is of utmost importance.
Demonstrations remained mostly peaceful until several gunshots rang out as heavily armed police closed in on a throng of protesters. Earlier in the day, about a dozen people were arrested in a skirmish between hundreds of demonstrators and a group of law enforcement officers in the Highlands neighborhood just outside downtown Louisville. Some windows of nearby businesses were also broken. Police said at least 46 arrests were made in all. Setting the scene for last night's demonstrations, a grand jury indicted one of the Louisville police officers involved in Breonna Taylor's fatal shooting, but not on charges related to her death. The 26-year-old Ms. Taylor was killed when police executed a no-knock search warrant on her apartment 6 months ago in a search for drugs. Three cops discharged their weapons after Ms. Taylor's boyfriend opened fire. He told investigators he thought they were intruders. Family attorney Benjamin Crump.
Whether it is Breonna Taylor, Zara's sister, who, I mean, she's in her apartment. She's in the sanctity of her home.
Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron.
This is a tragedy. I don't want to lose sight of that. But we do have a responsibility to look at the facts as they are.
The grand jury indicted former Detective Brett Hankinson on three counts of wanton endangerment, stemming from bullets shot recklessly into a neighboring apartment. He was fired in June. Let's get the legal perspective on what's developed in this case from Byron Brown, trial attorney based in Arizona at antilawyer.com. Byron, your reaction.
You know, it actually didn't surprise me. Obviously, what happened is a travesty. However, if you look at the facts, I understand why the grand jury did what they did, and that is, the officers were executing a valid no-knock warrant that was signed by a judge. And what that means is they're able to slam, break open your door and execute that warrant without any notice. And so we have Breonna Taylor inside with her boyfriend. Her boyfriend and his apartment is the subject of that search warrant. They break in. He didn't realize it was the police, according to his statement. And so he unloaded a shot and then the police fired back. I think this is a perfect example of the system needing to be reformed. But under the current legal system and the laws that are applicable to this situation, what the grand jury was tasked to do was look at the facts and apply it to the law. And that's what every jury's always asked to do, too. And it surprises the public at times that in situations like this, more people aren't charged. In this case, more officers aren't charged. However, when you apply the facts and the law together in this particular case, I understand why the grand jury did what they did. Do I think that more people should have been charged? Yes. But again, under the current system, the laws in place, I understand why the grand jury did what they did.
All right. So imagine for a second, I guess, you got to answer to, say, an angry crowd in Louisville who's saying an unarmed woman is shot dead in her bed by police who barged in search of drugs that were not even there. How do you explain that there are no charges filed against the people who killed her?
Well, because it was a valid search warrant. You know, again, we're talking about the legal system, and the legal system has laws. And when every lawyer does the exact same thing, is you take the facts and you apply them to the law. Those particular police went to a judge, and a judge signed a warrant that allowed them to do what they did. And then they were fired upon. If the police are fired upon, they're allowed to fire back.
Yeah.
So they were there at the apartment legally by a search warrant that was signed by a judge. So if you're going to hold those officers liable in that situation, you could argue that the judge is similarly liable. So again, what I would tell that Louisville crowd is, hey, 100%, this is a travesty. Breonna should not have been killed. And what we should do is use this as an example to look at no-knock warrants. Because in this particular case, the way I see it is, if those police knocked, announced themselves, allowed the boyfriend to answer the door, have a conversation, you know what? Maybe then it would have escalated, but maybe it would have been a physical escalation between the police and the boyfriend. It's unfortunate the way it happened because of the no-knock warrant, which, again, is legal in this country. Mm-hmm. So I think what needs to be reformed is the no-knock warrant, because, again, that's what I believe triggered this unfortunate series of events that occurred. The police were doing what a judge allowed them to do under the current law, and what we need to do is look at those current laws, like a lot of things, whether they're internal policies at the police department or whether they're laws and statutes written and codified in books. Those need to be changed so situations like this don't continue to happen.
We're speaking with Byron Brown, trial attorney based in Arizona. You can find him at antilawyer.com or talk about the Breonna Taylor case. You referenced before other people maybe should have been charged in this case. How so?
Well, I think, again, when we look at the social justice, I'll say, of this particular circumstance, the fact that this young lady passed away, you would hope that more people would be charged. So can I identify specific officers or name people that I think should have been charged? No. What I think is the system should be different, so then the law would allow for more police officers to be charged in this particular circumstance. So that's what I meant when I said.
Nice, Byron. Byron Brown, trial attorney in Arizona. You can find him at antilawyer.com. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday. President Trump is raising eyebrows after he avoided directly answering a question about a transfer of power at the White House if he loses the November election. Instead, he predicted the outcome would be decided by the Supreme Court, a reason he wants to quickly fill the vacancy left by the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. During a news conference, Mr. Trump was asked if he would commit to a peaceful transfer whether he won or lost in November.
Get rid of the ballots and you'll have a very peaceful, there won't be a transfer, frankly, there'll be a continuation. The ballots are out of control, you know it, and you know who knows it better than anybody else? The Democrats know it better than anybody else.
Mr. Trump is set to name his Supreme Court nominee Saturday. Republicans appear to have the votes to confirm a successor to Justice Ginsburg, who died 6 days ago. Five states, Colorado, Hawaii, Oregon, Washington, and Utah, routinely conduct elections primarily by mail. In response to the pandemic, at least four additional states and the District of Columbia have pledged to mail out ballots to all properly registered voters. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Anger, frustration, and sadness over the decision not to charge Kentucky police officers for Breonna Taylor's death has poured into the streets. Protesters lashed out at a criminal justice system they say is stacked against black people. Violence seized the demonstrations in Taylor's hometown of Louisville as gunfire rang out last night and wounded two police officers. There were also protests in New York, Atlanta, Seattle, and Washington where this woman marched.
And for it to even happen in her own home while she's in bed sleeping, like, that's ridiculous.
Taylor was shot multiple times by white officers who entered her home during a narcotics investigation in March. One officer was charged with wanton endangerment.
Number two.
Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is being remembered as a prophet for justice who persevered against long odds to become an icon, Chief Justice John Roberts.
Her 483 majority, concurring, and dissenting opinions will steer the court for decades. They are written with the unaffected grace of precision.
Crowds grew outside, waiting for a chance yesterday to pay their respects to the woman who served for 27 years on the High Court and became known to admirers as the notorious RBG.
Number three.
The Justice Department has submitted a proposal to Congress to curb longstanding legal protections for internet companies such as Facebook, Google, and Twitter. The proposal advances two main goals the Trump administration outlined in June, encouraging online platforms to actively address illicit conduct and manage content on their sites in fair and consistent ways. A career government records professional says in a court filing that Trump administration officials repeatedly exerted political pressure in an unsuccessful effort to block the release of former National Security Advisor John Bolton's tell-all book. Ellen Knight says the review process was replete with delay tactics and legal maneuverings aimed at discrediting her work and blocking the publication of Bolton's book. To football fans, Gale Sayers will be remembered as a lightning-fast runner who had moves that made defensive players trying to tackle him look foolish, but it was his interracial friendship with Chicago Bears teammate Brian Piccolo that endeared him to the nation. Their friendship was immortalized in the film Brian's Song. Sayers died yesterday at the age of 77. His family said he suffered from dementia.
All right. Thank you, Jen. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit Dell.com/business deals.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and proven adaptability are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. In many homes, mine included, the most challenging question of the day is, what's for dinner? And when you have picky eaters or children with food allergies, the nightly decision-making can be downright fraught. In search of solutions, Wall Street Journal writer Julie Jargon asked parents about their mealtime struggles and discovered a number of apps, meal prep sites, and other subscription services that strive to solve the picky eater problem. Julie, what's out there?
Yeah, so there are a number of different apps and services that are intended to help families figure out dinner time and make it easier, especially if there's some picky eaters in the house or people with food allergies.
Seems like it's, psychologically speaking, right, or a behaviorist might say, it's all about control. This is the one thing that kids can control. It drives their parents crazy.
Absolutely. It's a very common issue for young kids to not like different tastes or textures and to refuse to eat. And so a lot of families end up making, three different meals every night to appeal to people. And that's no fun for anyone.
All right. So what's out there? What's some of those services?
So there's one app that just actually started about a year ago called the Food Explorer Club. And it incentivizes children to try new foods by rewarding them with badges for doing things like trying a new vegetable, for eating all of the food on their plate, or even for, you know, agreeing to let different foods touch each other on the plate. I know some kids, they don't want their carrots to touch their mashed potatoes. and then parents in the app can decide how many points to assign to different things, and they can customize their rewards. And apparently it's helped a lot of families, you know, encourage their kids to try new things.
Yeah. Food prep. I've seen that before, where if you can get the kids involved in food prep, they're also more likely to try something.
Yeah, when they feel like they're part of the process of cooking. Also, if they are able to choose from among different things. So if you're setting out a number of different ingredients and they can assemble their own taco or their own pita or their own sandwich, maybe they skip the tomatoes, but they want to put the cheese on the taco. So instead of giving them a taco with all of the fixings that you like, and it contains maybe something they don't like, if you kind of lay out several different choices for them to make their own meal, that often can help kids, try new things or at least eat something without wasting a lot of food that they're just not going to touch.
And there are some apps or services that encourage kids to get involved in that way?
There are. There's a meal prep service called Prep and Rally. It's a subscription-based online service that lays out for you all of the different foods that you can make for the whole week. You can prep it all on Sunday and then just heat up the items throughout the week. And also provides a shopping list, so you get all the right ingredients. And partly it's to make just the whole cooking element easier for parents, but also the founder of that app has a lot of family-friendly tips that she offers to encourage kids to eat something. So, for example, if one of the recipes calls for roasted cauliflower, but you know your kids don't like cauliflower or they don't like it in that format, there will be tips on how to mash the cauliflower into, you know, kind of like a mashed potato type of dish or rice it. Or if there's a rotisserie chicken on the menu, you know, maybe kids will prefer to have the chicken shredded and served in a wrap or a pita.
Yeah. Thanks, Julie. Julie Jargon, Wall Street Journal columnist. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Being apart makes us want to do things together. It's what we miss about our friends, family, and yeah, even coworkers. From birthdays in the break room to all of us pitching in, like for a gift or a good cause, we're driven to be there for people. It runs pretty deep. These days, we're finding that our normal has changed, and we need to find new ways to connect and support one another. With the PayPal app, sending and receiving money is faster and easier than it's ever been. The past few months, in my family, we've used PayPal for focusing on locally owned small businesses in town, like our favorite pizza and burger joints, or sending our son care packages in college, even sending the occasional I miss you gift card to mom. With PayPal, it's easy to quickly and securely send money to friends and family, donate to causes, buy online, or even make touch-free QR payments in person at local businesses. See for yourself how PayPal is making it easy to pay safely, quickly, and easily. Download the PayPal app today. Terms and conditions apply.
The top national stories with the context to make sense of it all. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, September 24. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Two Louisville cops injured after being shot during protests. A police officer indicted on wanton endangerment charges in the Breonna Taylor case. California bans the sale of new gas-powered cars 15 years from now. President Trump to pay respects today to the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg. ESPN says a Chargers team doctor actually punctured the lung of quarterback Tyrod Taylor while injecting him. An asteroid the size of a bus zips unusually close to Earth today. And a 96-year-old makes bowling history. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. The death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and President Trump's vow to name her replacement to the Supreme Court before November's election are amplifying Wall Street's worries about major volatility and market losses ahead of and even after the election. Yesterday, stocks were off sharply again, with the S&P 500 down 2.4%, the NASDAQ slipping 3%. It's a story by Dion Rabowan, markets editor at Axios. Dion, what's going on?
Well, basically, as we were going into this election, there was a lot of fear on Wall Street about the election not being decided on election night. And there was worry that the longer this stretches out, the more uncertainty there is, the more this partisan divide that's really splitting the country amplifies that uncertainty and just creates a lot of selling pressure on Wall Street and gets people panicked and gets things moving down into the red. With the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, it's really just amplified that because there are more fears that people will be more divided, that people will be more on edge, and further that this could drag out longer, and then it goes to the Supreme Court. Potentially there's not another justice there, or there is, and this just, it really has sent things to another level, really, in terms of Wall Street worry about this this issue.
And absolutely, the uncertainty that Wall Street does not like.
Right, yeah, and that's one thing that stocks don't like, it's uncertainty. And there's definitely, you know, the fund managers that I've spoken to are expecting exactly that. The event risk on this date, on the election, really, going forward, is about six times what it would normally be. And to put that into perspective...
Yeah, what does that mean, actually? What's an event risk?
Yeah, it's a bit complicated because it has to do with options and implied volatility. Okay. But basically, investors are taking out more insurance on stocks going haywire and the volatility of the market than they normally would. So it's about six times that normal level.
Wow.
And about twice what it was for 2016, which, if you remember, there was incredible volatility on the election night. And again, we're not just talking about one night. We're talking about likely days, if not weeks, potentially months.
Yeah. We're speaking with Dion Rabowan, markets editor at Axios. His piece is called Wall Street Fears Meltdown Over Election and Supreme Court. So on that point, if there are no results in a timely manner, it seems, is the phrase, right? What does timely mean here? At what point, I don't know, to borrow your phrase from earlier, do things really go haywire? After 2 days of not knowing who controls the Senate or the White House? Is it 2 weeks? Is there a number?
That's a good question, and there's not exactly a number. The implied volatility really stretches for certain periods of time. So the amount of purchased contracts there are go for, I think it's about a month, but it's all for a particular span. So we really don't know what exactly the period of volatility would be in terms of the market's, to keep with this phrase, going haywire. But the longer it goes, the worse it is, because what Wall Street really wants to know is two things. One, are we going to get a blue wave with the Democrats taking control of the presidency, the Senate, and the House? And that likely means higher taxes as well as more stimulus, because the Democrats would be able to do some legislative things that they wouldn't be able to do even if Joe Biden wins the presidency and you still have a Republican Senate. That's a big deal because capital gains taxes are likely to go up, which would mean a lot of Wall Street fund managers would want to lock in gains, which would mean a lot of sales, which would push the markets down potentially. But also, again, you've got that the expectations for a lot of stimulus. And it doesn't just make a difference in terms of the general direction of the market. There are certain stocks that you'd want to buy under a Biden presidency with a Democratic Senate and House, and certain things that you just would not want to own, you know, like things like financials would likely not do as well as under President Trump, whereas when you turn to companies investing in renewable energy, some of these consumer stocks, stocks that would likely rise if we got a big infrastructure stimulus that people are expecting potentially under Biden. So these things make a big difference in terms of investors' positioning for the future. And the longer we don't know that, the more likely it is that people just want to get out of the market and sell. That volatility triggers more sales, and then you could really get a panic.
Revisit 20 years ago, Bush-Gore, and the uncertainty following Election Day there. What were markets doing then?
Exactly. After that, when we really didn't know who the president was going to be for weeks, the market sold off. The S&P was down by about 10% over the next 3 weeks. And within about 2 months, you had the S&P down 20%.
Oh, wow.
That also did start to coincide with that, the tech bubble crashing in that 2001 recession, but that was around the start of it. So you did see this sell-off kind of coming in right on the heels of the election and just worsening into that period at the start of the year. And then the market really had some trouble getting back to where it was. You did have the Fed cutting rates at that point and trying to juice the market a bit, but that, again, rates were much higher than they were now, and that's really not an option with rates at about zero as they are now.
Thanks, Dion. Dion Rabowan, markets editor at Axios. It's 19 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, a most unfortunate call for firefighters. When you've been married a while, it can be hard to find a unique gift that's a real surprise, but I did, and I found it at paintyourlife.com. With paintyourlife.com, you can send any photo or combination and have them transformed by world-class artists into a professional, hand-painted portrait at a truly affordable price, all in about 3 weeks. And the process is simple. I recently chose to have a painting done of my kids. All I had to do was upload the picture, choose my preferred medium, and select the size. Took less than 5 minutes. Oh, and when I was finished, I got an immediate email with the proposed rendering, asking me to either approve or make changes. Very customer service oriented. I love that. And at paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money's refunded. Plus, right now, as a limited-time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off, plus free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word DEAL to 64,000. That's DEAL to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Text DEAL to 64,000. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, by now, we all have a long list of things we can blame on the COVID-19, including, in many cases, financial hardship. For one Australian woman, however, the onset of the pandemic had just the opposite effect, netting her a boatload of cash. The woman told local lottery officials that she had booked a trip to Europe and was supposed to be there now. With those plans canceled, she wound up staying home and buying a lottery ticket instead. The ticket was a big winner, netting the woman over $700,000, money which she never would have won if the pandemic hadn't thwarted her travel plans.
Wow. Time to book new travel plans.
Right, and then cancel
many
them.
Of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's just have them canceled over and over again.
That's unbelievable. What luck.
Yeah, not
good
bad.
Stuff.
And we'd like to say, Gordon, this is the first time we're reporting on a pile of poop catching on fire, but unfortunately, we'd be wrong. For the latest, we traveled to Britain, where crews from three towns spent 3 hours extinguishing the flames from a blaze that started with a 22-ton pile of chicken manure. Experts said the chemicals in poultry manure can cause spontaneous combustion when a pile becomes too large to allow heat to escape. As alluded to earlier, this isn't the first time we've talked about firefighters battling manure-related blazes, and a quick internet search brings up several instances in recent years where the fires made the news, including one in upstate New York in 2016 and one in Spain last year, which actually wound up triggering a 13,000-acre wildfire.
Jeez.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And of course, this is what I'm up to, by the way, sitting at my desk doing internet searches to find out, you know, about all the poop fires that have happened in the last 5 years.
Right. This is always the awkward one for firefighters.
Yeah.
Who always, you know, tell great stories of heroism and such. And
right.
Carrying people out on their shoulders, rescuing them
sure.
from dangerous smoke and flames. And inevitably, right, at the cocktail party or something, the Friday night pizza party, somebody says, hey, what'd you do on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Well, we put out a burning chicken manure fire.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you know what? I hate to say anything, but you kind of smell a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
you kind of have a different odor than you usually do.
What is that moof you've been carrying around for 2 days now? Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference, like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help, offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, at Gordon Deal. A new survey finds that the new school year has motivated parents to get their kids to eat healthier. Southwest News Service says 7 in 10 American parents are piling on the fruits, veggies, and other healthy mealtime options for little ones after months in quarantine, when Americans stocked up on processed foods like cereals, canned soups, and mac and cheese. The study from one poll was conducted for the food brand Sabra. Of 2,000 parents surveyed, 73% of caregivers said they'd be limiting their kids' sugar intake. And 79% of participants said they're doing this by stocking up pantries with healthy foods and snacks. The study suggests that parents are potentially making up for feeding little ones junk food while in quarantine. The good news is that the quarantine seems to have boosted Americans' desire to cook meals from scratch at home, which could potentially result in more fresh foods and less processed meals for kids. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The announcement of a grand jury's decision to indict one of the three police officers involved in the shooting death of Breonna Taylor, and that the indictment wasn't related to her death, has sparked another wave of protests for justice and racial equality around the nation. Protesters took to the streets in Chicago, Milwaukee, Seattle, and Washington, among other places, following yesterday's announcement from Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron.
There is no conclusive evidence that any bullets fired from Detective Hankinson's weapon struck Ms. Taylor.
Demonstrations turned violent in Taylor's home city of Louisville, where two police officers were shot, one in the abdomen, another in the thigh. Both are expected to recover.
Number two.
President Trump is declining to commit to a peaceful transfer of power if he loses the presidential election.
Well, we're going to have to see what happens. You know that I've been complaining very strongly about the ballots, and the ballots are a disaster.
Trump's Democratic challenger, Joe Biden, responded by asking, what country are we in?
He says the most irrational things. I don't know what to say about this, but it does surprise me.
The president has sought repeatedly to cast doubt preemptively on the legitimacy of the election.
Number three.
A huge international study of a Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine that aims to work with just one dose is getting underway as top U.S. health officials sought yesterday to assure a skeptical Congress and public that they can trust any shots the government ultimately approves. Anthony Fauci, infectious disease expert, says he's cautiously optimistic we'll have a safe and effective vaccine. A judge in New York has ordered Eric Trump to sit for an interview under oath as part of Attorney General Letitia James's probe into the Trump Organization before October 7th, rejecting Trump's request to delay his testimony until after the election. The judge also ruled that the Trump Organization must turn over requested documents. Like everything else this year, this one's going virtual. The ball will drop at midnight on New Year's Eve in Times Square without the crowds. The organization that puts together the annual event says it will honor essential workers and others who have made a difference this year, and only a few will be present for the celebration.
Ay, ay, ay. You know what? If that's the case, let's just bump up New Year's Eve to December 1st.
To get rid of this year? That's all right with me.
Accelerate the dismissal of the year 2020. Thanks, Jen. Thanks for being with us. How about this for defying your age? A Pennsylvania woman who's 96 has become the first person at her local bowling alley to roll a no-tap 300, meaning she knocked down at least 9 pins each frame. Sarah Lyons, who will be 97 at the end of November, was bowling at the Kennedy Lanes in McKees Rocks outside Pittsburgh when she finished her game with a score of 300. Ms. Lyons told KDKA Television she's been bowling since age 27, and this marked her first 300 score. She admits it's especially hard for seniors to do it.
I just have to keep going. I won't give up. I won't give up no matter how old I get.
Keys to a long life, Ms. Lyons says focusing on her family keeps her healthy and alert. The bowling alley congratulated Lyons in a Facebook post calling her, quote, quite the pistol. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.